Welcome to the Midday for a Tuesday. I'm Norman Gilliland. We're going to start with some live music, and then we'll hear some more fairly recently recorded music, and both performers in the studio with me here. The two of them are here in conjunction with their upcoming performances in the concert of the winners of the 2014-15 concerto competition of the UW Symphony. And it's going to be that concert is on Sunday. That's this coming Sunday, February 8th, 7 o'clock, Mills Concert Hall at the UW-Madison. And we're going to start with a violinist for the occasion, and that's...
Keisuke Yamamoto.
Yes, Keisuke Yamamoto. There is an old tradition, you know, of having the mystery guest sign in and just give their own name, but Keisuke Yamamoto is the violinist. And he's an undergraduate at the UW-Madison, a student of violinist David Perry. And for the upcoming concert, you're going to be playing the Chausson Poem.
Yes.
Which is, what, a 10,
it's
11
about 15 minutes.
Yeah, right. One of the longer pieces of its ilk. But you're going to just give us a sample of what you can do in a second here with one of the great violin composers of the 20th century. Has had a niche all of his own, Fritz
yes.
Kreisler did. Do you play a lot of Kreisler?
Oh, of course. I mean, it's one of the classics for violinists.
You know about the fraud, right?
Oh, of course.
Everybody
of course,
who knows
yeah.
about Fritz Kreisler knows that he early in his life fobbed off his own works as the works of major composers because he didn't want to have concerts of all his own stuff. It was kind of awkward.
And so he perfectly timed all of his pieces. So
timed
that it would,
timed
so,
how?
So that his concerts would end at a certain time.
Oh, really?
Is what I heard. I mean, maybe that's just an urban legend. But
well, that would be a luxury if you're writing your own stuff. And then the deception was discovered by Olin Downs, the critic who happened to be visiting Kreisler and saw one of the masterpieces of the... Baroque era, still sitting with sort of wet ink on the piano. And that's where the jig was up, as they say. But it was the beginning of a whole new career for Fritz Kreisler as a composer in his own right. And what do you have here?
So I have Liebeslied.
One of the most famous ones. So that's, let's say, Love's Sorrow.
Yes.
And what appeals to you about Liebeslied?
Well, I played it for my sophomore recital, I guess now 2 years ago. And I don't know, it's very freeing, very Viennese. It's just a good piece to play.
Well, it is. It's pure violin stuff. And your pianist, I should add, is Ian Thomas. Mm-hmm. And so the two of you are going to be playing this Liebeslied by Fritz Kreisler.
Thank you.
Liebeslied by Fritz Kreisler. And how long have you been playing the violin? You're an undergraduate at UW, so how many years?
I've been playing since I was 3, technically. I'm one of those kids.
I was going to say, I mean, there has to be a lower limit there somewhere. Why did you wait so long?
I don't know. I started... So a family friend of ours back in Japan started playing, and my sister's also actually a violinist.
And is she 3 or 4 years old also?
No. She started when I think she was 5, and I would just go to lessons and observe. Or maybe she started when she was 3. I can't quite remember. She's going to yell at me for that. it just kind of came naturally for me.
By listening to her, you were just attracted to this, to the instrument and the idea of playing it.
I guess so. At the beginning, I wasn't very into playing violin, but I think over the years and throughout all the great teachers that I've had so far, I've just really come to like or love playing the violin. It's become a vessel of a sort. So,
a means of self-expression, do you think?
I think so, something like that.
Well, you get to express yourself a lot more come Sunday night. This Sunday night, Mills Concert Hall, Keisuke Yamamoto will be playing the poem of Un Chanson. So that's something to look forward to. And now we're going to go from undergraduate to a doctoral candidate. That's a little bit of a jump there academically. And, okay, Ivana.
Yes, Ivana Ugrčić.
Yes, that's right. I'm not even going to try. I'm going to, every time there's a blank in the conversation, I want you to just say your last name.
Okay.
And where does that come from? The name and you.
I'm from Serbia, so it's a Serbian family name. Yeah.
But you say people even in Serbia have trouble with that?
Yeah, they also have a problem to pronounce my family name, so I'm used to this.
Well, good. And you're a student of Stephanie Jutt.
Right.
Prominent flutists around here.
Yes, and fantastic professor. Yes.
And did you have the same experience with the flute that Keisuke had with the violin? You saw somebody playing it when you were very young and that attracted you to the instrument, or how did it happen?
Well, it happened like that. I was playing a ballet, and after one rehearsal, I saw my future professor. He came in and he started to play a flute, and I felt...
Literally blown away, as they say.
Right. Exactly. Uh-huh. I just fell in love with the instrument, but I was not that young. I was 13. I started really late.
Sure, that's practically a senior citizen by his standards.
Yes.
Do you remember the first pieces you played?
Oh, not really.
Did you play at 13, 14, 15? Did you start playing with like student orchestras?
Yes. Yes, I did. Yeah, but I decided to go into the music business and field when I was 23. Till then, I was doing all kind of different things and studying another university. Yes,
23. That's when a lot of people decide to get out of the music field.
Right. Well, my path is different. That's it.
Different paths. That's right. Different paths for everybody.
Right.
Now, you were going to play live at you today, but
unfortunately, my pianist
not able to do that.
Right.
And so we do have a recording made back in Serbia. Is that right?
Yes, mm-hmm. A few months ago. Actually, before I came here. Right. I moved to U.S. In August. Beginning of August, so before that I made the recording.
Did you come to the U.S. to play music specifically, or you had other reasons too?
Not just for music, mm-hmm. Yes.
Specifically to come to Wisconsin?
Yes.
Well, that's great. And so about this recording we're about to hear, who's playing?
So I'm on a cello flute. So we're going to play with Antonio Vivaldi, Four Seasons, Winter Concerto.
Very appropriate.
Yes. Right. So since it's for violin solo, I made the arrangement for a flute, and we will hear a string quartet behind and harpsichord.
Really? Okay. String quartet, harpsichord, and flute,
flute, yes.
Of the Four Seasons. Okay. And, and this is Winter by Vivaldi.
Right. Thank you.
And that's the way it sounded not that long ago in Serbia when Vivaldi's Four Seasons, Winter in that particular case, were performed by my guest today. Her name is Ivana
Ugrčić.
See, we've got a rhythm going here. And she was performing, let's see, with a string quartet and a
harpsichord.
Harpsichord, I mean.
Right,
yes,
yeah.
Which worked very well. Vivaldi, it just proves how adaptable those Vivaldi concertos are. Now, what are you, this concert, this coming Sunday, the 8th, 7 o'clock, Mills, here at the UW-Madison, what are you going to be playing for that?
Well, I will play composition from François Born. It's Carmen Fantasy Variations flute and orchestra.
That's quite, I was going to say quite a handful, but it's really quite a mouthful, isn't it, to play that piece? A lot of virtuosity.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Did he write that for the flute? Specifically, do you remember? I think he did.
Yes, he did, because in that period, new system boom flutes were created. Mm-hmm. So all the composers were writing pieces for flutes and very virtuoso pieces. So mm-hmm. So flute can show a virtuosity and players can show their abilities.
New improved flute, and they wanted to show what it could do.
Right, yeah, exactly.
Sort of a common theme among those wind instruments in particular. And once you get this doctorate in music from UW-Madison, what are you going to do with it? Well, and how soon is that going to happen?
Well, I just started my DMA program, so that means next 3 years I will be here for sure. And afterwards, well, continue playing.
Well, I suppose that above all else, whatever exactly else you do.
Well, I don't have really something specific. I would like to do everything, to play as a soloist, to work as a professor at the university, to play in the orchestra. So I'm open for all.
As one has to be.
Right, exactly. Yes.
Is there a particular flutist other than Stephanie Judd, your professor, who is an inspiration to you?
Oh, well, a lot of them. So, I mean, especially when you're growing yourself, then you appreciate more and more variety among the flutists and musicians, and so I really cannot now say this one. But Jean-Pierre Rampal, for example.
Sure, the late great.
Yeah, he's a legend.
Yeah, he was here once upon a time.
Really?
Yes, many years ago.
Oh, wow.
much more recently, Sir James Galway was here.
Yes, him, for example, or Patrick Galois.
Sure.
Yeah, mostly French school music.
we could get into that for a while, couldn't we? The distinction between the sound of French flute playing. I mean, there is a difference, I'm told, between sound of, say, French flute playing and German flute playing.
Well,
just a national stylistic.
Yeah, subject. there is. And, like, America has an own special, like, way of flute playing, so... And that's why I came here. I was in France, I was a bit in Germany.
Oh, so...
And I moved here, so I want to learn more about this school.
You'll have a style that'll be very hard to pin down, won't you, by the time you're through. Well, pleasure having both of you,
Thank you.
Of my guests here, be performing Sunday night with the UW Symphony and Keisuke Yamamoto and Ivana
Ugrčić.
Thank you very much. And we'll look forward to hearing more from both of you.